Fan pregame Friday night edition. The calm before the storm. Tomorrow, round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs begins. Last chance for bracket creation. We've got ours locked and loaded. We're going to share our second half of the bracket of the Western Conference at 6:30.
Yep, last chance also for bold predictions. So we'll bring on our boldest, Frank Saravalli, for fact or fiction in about 5 minutes. We'll see if we can stumble Frank with a few hot takes.
Okay, we can always have their text line open at 590-590 if you want to participate as well. Jay's starting a series on the road against the Padres tonight. We're going to preview that a little later in the show.
I guess we'd be stumping Frank, not stumbling Frank. Anyway, the NBA play-in concludes tonight, so we'll get the full bracket for the NBA soon. And yeah, I'll be touching on that in best bets later in the show.
Okay, so yesterday we had a 50% picture complete. The Western Conference obviously needed some things to land. And if you're an Oilers fan, you woke up this morning, or you were probably watching, and you got maybe the balance of the century. And I'm not trying to discredit what might be a lengthy playoff run for the Edmonton Oilers, but Vegas loses to Anaheim and the Kings rally in overtime to beat Chicago. Both things meaning that Dallas will now play Vegas, which is going to be a hell of a series, and Edmonton will play the LA Kings. And that side of the bracket avoids some of the best teams probably in the NHL. And I feel pretty confident right now in the Edmonton Oilers just getting a slower start, possibly. Famous last words. We'll see how this goes. But Edmonton, obviously, one of Canada's biggest playoff hopes. They got a big bounce by avoiding Dallas and starting off with LA Kings.
Yeah, I think it's a complete 180. You went from maybe the most unjust first-round opponent, the team that beat you last year in the playoffs, maybe the team that is most playoff-equipped or equipped for the postseason in Vegas. And I think we're going to discover a lot about Vegas against Dallas, but you could put them in that category for sure. And now, more importantly, Vegas goes over to the other side, and the four teams, along with Edmonton, so five, but the four other teams, probably with the best chance to win the Stanley Cup, go to a Stanley Cup, are all competing on the other side of the bracket.
And they're going to beat the crap out of each other. Like, these series, when we will preview what we're going to do, our predictions later, they are going to be a bloodbath. There is no light, easy, friendly matchup. It is all enemies. It is all big, heavy. That was the Western Conference in general. And not that the Oilers won't get that at all, but they'll get a lot less of it. They would start against LA Kings, and if they can advance, they'll play either the Predators or the Canucks, who, once again, are a little bit less scary to me than the Colorado Avalanche, the Winnipeg Jets, the Vegas Golden Knights, or the Dallas Stars. So they end up on a really nice trajectory, which I would say, yeah, you know, conference finals got to be the minimum that Oilers fans could feel at this point.
If you're, again, you still got to win the series. But if we're power ranking the teams in the Western Conference, I think 6, 7, and 8, in whatever order you want to make it, are Vancouver, Nashville, and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And wherever the Oilers are in that equation, they're top five, at least for me. That means they've got the three worst, at least in my mind, again, teams that they got to deal with at least in the first two rounds. That is a massive, massive break. And we'll find out just how big of a break it was or is when we see Vegas go head-to-head with the Dallas Stars. Because Dallas is a great team, but if Vegas just decides, oh, we're still that team, then it throws everything out of whack, and it certainly gives the Oilers a really, really good opportunity to go far in this tournament.
You look at the Eastern Conference, and I feel like it's pretty evenly matched once you get past that first round. Obviously, there's a couple of lighter matchups if you're the Carolina Hurricanes playing the Islanders, but you can still give the Islanders a little credit for getting in there. Obviously, the Rangers and the Capitals seems very lopsided. But right away, the Rangers would have to play the Carolina Hurricanes. And that is eliminating one of the top two projected winners out of the Eastern Conference. Florida either having to play the Bruins or the Leafs in the second round, or Tampa. Like, those are really hard matchups. There isn't a sneaky path for anyone in the Eastern Conference the way that I feel like the Edmonton Oilers can really take advantage of a first-round matchup that isn't going to be the bloodbath, the hopeful seven games that we're going to see with a lot of these. So, I mean, this is all about Canada's Cup chances as well, feeling like maybe we're closer to having a Canadian team hoist the Stanley Cup for the first time in forever. And I don't know, I feel like you'd be pretty happy just to see the way that last night went, the fortuitous bounce to end up with the LA Kings.
It's a massive, massive bounce. And definitely put Edmonton in a different sort of hierarchy when listing, when trying to examine who can win the Stanley Cup, because this is a battle of attrition. This is a war of attrition. And if you get a softball along the way, and again, Vancouver's still a great team. They won the Pacific Division. So it's not like they're going to breeze through, but there could be that layup around along the way. And when there is a layup along the way, that layup goes a long way towards winning a Stanley Cup, because these teams can beat each other up. If you can get through quick, you can save yourself a lot of concern.
Okay, let's bring in Frank Saravelli of DailyFaceoff.com. Frank, is the calm before the storm? Happy, I guess, like eve of chaos. I hope it starts that way. How are you feeling on the day before the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs begin?
Look, more chaos ahead for me tonight. It's the father-daughter dance at school.
Oh,
so
that's sweet.
Yeah, we've got a full night ahead. So this is definitely not the calm before the storm. This is the storm before the storm.
Oh, wait, that's really lovely. Are you wearing a full-on suit, and do you have a boutonniere, or is that what the guys wear?
Oh, yeah. I've got my suit jacket upstairs. We're ready to go.
Oh, that's really nice. Okay, we won't keep you long, but we do have a fun little, I guess, game challenge. You know what? Justin invented it, so Justin can explain it.
Well, we just want to touch on all eight series with you, and we thought the best way to do that would just be, like, throw a statement at you and let you tell us whether that is fact or fiction, or Frank or fiction, if you want to go that route. Let's start with the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights. I guess the curveball here. Drawing Vegas, this is the statement, is disastrous for the Stars' Stanley Cup hopes.
Fiction, I would say definitely not disastrous. I mean, you tell me where there's a hole in the Dallas Stars lineup. Mm. I don't believe there is one, from Jake Oettinger, who's played excellent down the stretch, to their mobile defense core that added a different element in Chris Tanev, to their 8 20-goal scorers up front. I think there's reason to think that Vegas is dangerous. They're the defending cup champs. I mean, of course they're dangerous, but they're really not the same team that they were last year. And in some ways, I kind of feel like Vegas this year is not all that different than the Colorado team that lost to Seattle last year in the first round.
Yeah, I think the Vegas, starting with already a little bit of an injury bug, that's not usually how you would start a round one. Round one is hopefully when you're healthiest and you're ready to attack. So I think disastrous is a bit of a stretch, but we were comparing and contrasting to the way that Edmonton Oilers fans might feel this morning when they end up with LA Kings as their pathway through. So this next question for you, fact or fiction, for the Oilers, Los Angeles is merely a softball.
Oh, that's Frank.
Frank, I love it.
I would say that when you look at the Los Angeles Kings, you have to respect two of the best defensive forwards of this generation in Anze Kopitar and Philip Deneau. You have to respect their structure. To me, the biggest hurdle for the Edmonton Oilers, this is true probably at least until they get to round three, is themselves. Mm. Can they avoid stubbing their toe? Look at the last two times they played the Kings in the first round. They lost the first game both times. They had another game, and these series kind of bleed together for me. But I remember they went to LA for, you know, the first part of their series and looked like they spent the previous day on the beach. They just weren't ready to play. Their attention to detail certainly wasn't there. And I think this Oiler team has an opportunity this year to show, hey, we've had some experience that hasn't gone, you know, 100% perfectly in the playoffs, and we're learning from that. And I think Justin's point, just as I was joining, is so well made. If you look back on the history of almost every team that's won the Stanley Cup, there are a couple exceptions here, but they've almost all had one short series baked in there somewhere along the way. Some of them were surprises in how quickly they ended. Some of them were, you know, they had a few, of course, that went the distance. No one ever has easy work of getting to the Stanley Cup final, but the Oilers could go a long way in helping themselves if they get out of the gate strong against LA.
Yeah, the history between these two teams is interesting, right? Because, you know, in general, it's hard to beat a team three times in a row, right? Like, things have to go right, I suppose, if they're kind of coin flip-ish. I guess they're not really, though, and that's key. But I do think it helps Edmonton in this sense because they know the recipe. They know how to beat this team. And if these two teams haven't changed all that much, you think Edmonton might be able to make quicker work of it, and it can classify as that softball. Okay, let's bounce back to the Central Division, Winnipeg and Colorado, and I think the tightest series that we have. But there is one big difference, and that's the goaltending disparity. So the goaltending disparity, i.e. the massive advantage Connor Hellebuck has in this series over his counterpart, will eventually decide the series.
I believe that to be fiction. I think what's going to decide the first round series between Colorado and Winnipeg is the risk profile that the Colorado Avalanche play with. They like to run and gun. They like a track meet. You love to see Nathan MacKinnon winding up through the neutral zone and the NHL's force of nature bearing down on you. It's impressive to watch, but it also means that at the other end of the ice, the Avs give up a lot. This Winnipeg team is so perfectly suited to go up against the way Colorado plays. We can show you clip after clip of Adam Lowry and the near textbook picture perfect support that he provides in the neutral zone. One reason why Adam Lowry got a little Selke love from me today on my ballot. They collapse as well as any team in front of their net. And oh, by the way, yes, they do have Hellebuck there. But to me, it's the stylistic difference between these two teams and the way they go about being successful that exacerbates the advantage that Winnipeg has in net with Connor Hellebuck over Alexander Georgiev. So it's not the goaltending for me. It's going to be the way these two teams play. And the season series doesn't always mean everything. Sometimes it doesn't mean anything. In this case, I think it dictates or at least explains a lot of how I view this series to go, with the Jets holding a 3-0 advantage in the regular season, outscoring Colorado 17-4.
All right, one last one here on the Western Conference before we flip over to the other side. Nashville and Vancouver. Is it fact or fiction? Nashville has used up all of its magic.
I believe that to be fact. If you look at the way the Preds enter the postseason, that's frank, I should say. they have just been okay. And I think their 18-game point streak, it changed our perception of this team and drastically skewed how we view them. That's not to take anything away from what was a special season in Nashville. There's clearly cohesion between player and coach, GM and coach, and GM and players. That's a team that really seems to believe in each other. But you have to remember, this is a Preds team that prior to that point streak was certainly on the outside of the playoffs looking in, and makes up the larger sample size of the season between that and the way they ended the year when they came back to Earth. That's not to say that the Preds can't make life difficult on the Canucks, but just in the same way that you talked about the path that the Oilers have created for themselves, the way everything shook out for the Vancouver Canucks, I think, is the perfect appetizer to round two, because I see the Canucks making somewhat quick work of the Preds.
Yeah, it's pretty good for the Canucks, too. I guess we probably overlooked that just a little bit. Setting up Edmonton-Vancouver, I mean, that would be a dream. I think that would be a lot of fun. Okay, let's go over to the Eastern Conference. Let's start in the Metropolitan Division. With this one, since you achieved insider status, Frank, Washington is the worst playoff team that's ever been.
I don't want to miss anyone, so I don't want to jump out of line, but I'm going to say that that's Frank. Definitely with goal differential, that part is indisputable. It's not just when the Caps lose, they lose big. And they've had more than a quarter of their season games lost by three or more goals, which is hard to do. That said, they really showed a lot of themselves the last 5 weeks of the season. They won big games. They definitely compete, especially for a team that sold off and probably didn't envision seeing itself in this position, making the playoffs. Alex Ovechkin got hot. Charlie Lindgren was the man in net. There was a lot of things to like about the way the Caps played, but that doesn't mean that they're a live dog in round one.
Speaking of dogs, this is a good way to segue to our next one. Carolina and the Islanders. The Islanders are the best hope for a true round one upset, fact or fiction?
Fiction. I don't see a path for the New York Islanders. I can't create one for them to win. First off, you need to tell me who's starting in net. Is it Varlamov or is it Sorokin? Then you need to pick apart for me really the Carolina Hurricanes and the spot that they're in. I don't see a weakness. You could at one point probably have said earlier this season, goaltending, none of their guys are ever upright. I look at it now and I say what an advantage it is that Freddie Anderson, after the scary blood clot, has mostly been fresh. He doesn't have a ton of wear on his tires. And, oh, by the way, if you need him, Pyotr Kochetkov is there. They have one of the best defense corps in hockey, and Jake Guentzel is the exact, you know, dagger, the exact elite finisher that that team had been missing, the true difference maker that they picked up in the playoffs. And we've also kind of forgotten how bad Evgeny Kuznetsov has been since he got there.
Okay, let's transfer over to the Atlantic Division. We'll start with the Battle of Florida. I don't know if the transfer of power has happened or will happen soon, but fact or fiction, Frank, Florida is the new Tampa.
Gonna need you to unpack that. What does that mean?
That, I guess it's open to interpretation just a little bit, but Florida, if not winning multiple Stanley Cups, is about to dominate in the same way that Tampa has in the past couple years.
I'll say that's fiction. And I say part of that is because the rest of the East is pretty good. I mean, it's going to be a titanic matchup between the Rangers and Canes in round two. And that's to say nothing of the other team that makes it out from Boston and Toronto. A lot of this year, I viewed the Panthers as the beast of the East. They are another team that did not play at their best over the last course of the season. Can they flip the switch? Yeah, I think they can. But there's no better switch flippers in the NHL than the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, at whatever the odds are today, plus 160 on the series price, I like Tampa. I like them for a million reasons, including Andre Vasilevsky reverting to Conn Smythe Vasilevsky these last few weeks. Victor Hedman got Norris Trophy love for me on my ballot. He had a fantastic season that really no one seemed to talk about. And, oh, by the way, they might have the Hart Trophy winner in their lineup in Nikita Kucherov, along with the other typical Tampa Bay pillars. I like where Florida's heading. I love their skill. I think this is going to be a phenomenal series to watch. It should be physical. It should be all of the things that you want Stanley Cup playoff action to be. But by no means am I going to sit here and anoint Florida as the new king of the East. No.
All right, Frank, we left the best for last. Toronto and Boston. Fact or fiction, this is the best chance the Leafs have ever had to beat the Bruins.
Ever? I haven't seen enough hockey to know that, but considering that this has stretched back since 1959, I will say that's Frank. This Boston team is ripe for the picking. They are not as good as their record would indicate. The eye test tells me that. The numbers from SportLogic tell me that. That their goaltending was so superior to everyone else that it really lifted them to a season that probably even their own front office wasn't expecting. I think they have holes and weaknesses in their lineup. I think the same thing can be said of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I love the way the Leafs enter this playoff. They have played their best hockey since the Morgan Riley suspension. That was their turning point of the year, and there have been some amazing ones around the league, whether it was the Sean Couturier healthy scratch or the U2 Spear cancellation for the Nashville Predators. There's been some great stories, few better than the way the Leafs have rallied since then, how physical they've played, second in the league in hits since then, directly translatable to the playoffs. They have some jam. They obviously have some talent. And I'm picking the Leafs to win this series in six over the Bruins. I look at this and say the fact that the pressure is off, no one is hyping up the Leafs. A lot of people view this as a coin flip, and rightfully so. But they're not feeling it the same way of these must-win series that they entered the last few years with. They got that monkey off their back. And more than that, with some of the holes that they have, no one's saying cup contender. Sometimes ask Washington, ask St. Louis, some other teams. Those are usually the best years when maybe you didn't have your best roster, but you found something with your group.
Okay, it's in stone. Frank Saravelli, Leafs in six. Very quickly, before we let you go, you mentioned the ballot a couple times. It went in today. You do the work. You have the courage of your own convictions, of course, but this is a contentious one. Anything you're slightly worried about the public seeing when they see your ballot eventually?
No, look, I put in the work, hours upon hours of thinking about it. I actually woke up at 2 something last night and stared at my ballot some more before submitting it at 8 something this morning. You're always moving things around. You're always thinking about it. The reason why we have 199 voters this year is because if we all thought the same, what would be the point in doing this? I have a ballot and people in spots that I can answer for and explain, and that's all I could ever really ask of any voter.
I'm very excited to see how it all shakes out, Frank. We appreciate your time tonight. Enjoy the father-daughter dance and start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll chat with you hopefully next week.
Can't wait. See you guys.
Thanks, Frank. Whew.
Maybe part of that up being at 2 a.m. was, I got to dance tomorrow in front of people.
Dance in front of a whole group of people.
That might have been a bit of it.
Oh, that's exciting. Good for Frank. All right. So that was Frank or fiction or fact or fiction. I wrote down Frank's answers. But was there anything that stood out to you that surprised you about Frank's answers? Maybe it was Vegas being the word disastrous maybe was, so Dallas and Vegas being the
matchup. Yeah, disastrous is strong.
But drawing Vegas is disastrous for the Stars' Stanley Cup hopes. I think I originally felt like, oh no, I had the Stars going far in this playoff race. Mm-hmm. They get Vegas, woe is me. This is gonna blow up my bracket. But he did a really great job at explaining the depth and the balance of Dallas compared to Vegas. And Vegas has the championship pedigree now, but maybe they are a little bit weaker and a little bit beat up already to start this series. So maybe feel a little bit less upset if you're a Dallas fan that you end up with Vegas after all of this.
I mean, obviously his answer about the Leafs is interesting. I think maybe the Tampa take though, because he's picking Tampa at least by the odds, and maybe there's just a value play there, but not separating Florida and Tampa by any means, whether it's a coin flip, whether he prefers Tampa, even if it was priced the same, I guess it doesn't really matter, but that Tampa is still
has some belief.
Tampa is I think a major thing and something that we may all be reminded of very soon when this playoff begins.
All right. That's it for now, just for a little bit of NHL chat. By the way, we're going to finish our Western Conference bracket on the other side of the break, but it is NBA playoff time as well, and that snuck up on us since if you were watching the Raptors, you stopped watching a little while ago. So you also have a thought on how we can maybe glean some value from the NBA playoffs.
Well, I don't know about value.
A way to discuss the NBA.
But a way to discuss things, because we're almost set, and it's a little frustrating because we're not yet set, and we've been waiting on it to be set. And the NBA play-in is fun, but the week-long process that it takes to actually get a bracket together can be a little bit frustrating. But for now, because we'll get into it more next week, if you were just handed $100, Ailish, fell out of the sky.
Nice.
Found it on the street. But you had to bet in the NBA playoff market. Mm-hmm. Who would you put money on right now? You could go chalk, Celtics +145, Nuggets +275. Everybody else is 14-1 or greater. So I guess the question is, hey, you want to try to win $145 with the Celtics, or do you want to take a shot on someone else? Which way would you go?
I want to win $145 on the Celtics. You know what I just did? I watched Scottie Scheffler, who was the best, do exactly what people thought he wasn't going to do because he was the chalk. He was the guy. And I lost money because I tried to galaxy brain it at the Masters. So the Celtics right now, as we talked off air, they're going to either play the Heat or the Bulls. And then they're going to play either the Cavs or the Magic. They are one of the healthiest teams going into the NBA playoffs. They had 64 wins this year. They smoked everybody in their conference. It was not even a debate. They won or split their season with 28 of 29 opponents. The one that they didn't get was Denver, so that's great. No losing streak longer than 2 games all season long. That's important when you look at a playoff series. And the thing against the Celtics right now is nobody believes that they are going to do it. And I think this year we're going to see a lot of teams, whether it's in the NHL or the NBA, do things that people just didn't believe they do it. All they've seen is them fall short. I think this year they get over that hurdle. And I'm not going to think outside the box. Celtics, the favorite. They've had an incredible season. They're healthy. They're going to make a lengthy playoff run.
Yeah, forget the Oilers or Canucks path. The Celtics have like a police escort to the Eastern Conference Final and probably the NBA Finals.
Good luck.
They're going to get the Heat or the Bulls, and if it's the Heat without Jimmy Butler, and then they get the winner of the Magic and Cavaliers. Like, there's going to be very little resistance early for the Celtics, which is a great thing. I will go a different route, though.
You're a value
guy. I'm interested. And I already got some, I got things that are already in place right now that I might need to hedge against. I'm interested in the Phoenix Suns. They close the season really well. Kevin Durant playing really well. Devin Booker playing really well. Bradley Beal suddenly playing really well. I think this is a dangerous team in the Western Conference that doesn't have a Boston Celtics that's just waiting for them in a finals appearance. Yes, the Nuggets are good. Yes, the Nuggets won last year. The Nuggets probably in a one-off game better than anyone, but maybe you know, with Jamal Murray injury history, if there's one player that goes down in that starting rotation, are they as good? I think there might be a lane there for someone like the Phoenix Suns to take advantage of a wider open Western Conference that is still priced like there's a massive, massive favorite who is can't miss to get to the NBA Finals. So I like the Phoenix Suns at plus 2,000. I think they're going to beat the Timberwolves in round one, and I think they're going to be a problem for the Nuggets in round two.
All right, we got two playing games tonight on the network, Chicago and Miami, which is a big one, 7 o'clock in Sacramento, and New Orleans at 9:30. A little later on tonight on sports, that will be the Toronto Blue Jays opening their series on the road against San Diego. That's at 9 o'clock. And they'll also be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll take a quick break. We'll do our best bets on the other side, but we'll get to our Western Conference bracket because this was hard for me. I actually thought I went with my gut, and then I looked back at it again, and then I tried to edit, and I'm like, no, I'm going to go with the gut. I know you're the more analytical eye. But we'll see how it all shakes out because this has a lot of big-time juggernauts facing off in the first round. So we'll see how it works. We'll always take your predictions at 590-590 if you want to send in your Stanley Cup thoughts, who you might see there at the end. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back up on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and Sportsnet 360.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back on The Fan pregame, Sportsnet, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan for the next 20-ish minutes. Okay, so yesterday we did our Eastern Conference bracket. A quick reminder of what we had. Both of us had the Panthers defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning in round one. I had the Leafs defeating the Bruins. You had the Bruins. Mm-hmm. We both had the Rangers. We both had the Hurricanes. That was our round one look. Second round, I got the Panthers and the Rangers advancing. You had the Panthers and the Hurricanes advancing. And our conference finals, I had the Rangers winning and you had the Panthers winning. So that's who we would have matching up against, who we're going to have here in our Western Conference bracket. Let's start with the Stars and the Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. Because this one obviously wasn't going to be the way it ends up being until last night's miraculous finale. We thought the Bruins were tanking. I don't know if anyone was trying to avoid who, but we have Stars and Knights. For me, I've been a big believer in the Stars this season. I think they've been really elite in all facets of their game. They're very deep. They're very well balanced. And when you have Jake Oettinger playing like he has been on the stretch, he's 10-1-0 in his last 11. Feel really confident that the Stars have a playoff type balance on their roster. The thing that I'm going to knock against the Knights, who are obviously winners, is that they're starting already on the back foot. They're starting, is that the right way to, yeah, they're on their back foot.
Sure.
Yeah, they're injured. They're a little shaken up. And that's usually not how you start a playoff push. That's how you end a playoff push. They did win all three games this season against the Stars, though, but those happened in the beginning of the year, October and December. Things have certainly changed for the Stars. I think they figured it out. So I am picking the Stars over the Golden Knights in seven games.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about this one. I was driving the Stars bandwagon, and now I feel
don't
like
jump off now.
All of a sudden, the road is a little bit more treacherous than I expected it to be. But yeah, you hit on a lot of important points. Dallas closed the season really good, 13-4. Vegas not bad, 12-7. I think you're right up, you know, to bring up 3-0 in the regular season, Vegas. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to last year's Western Conference final where Vegas beat them 4-2, well, that's a 7-2 record against them in the last nine games. And those games are, you know, the ones early in the season, meaningful in some ways, but definitely those six, full meaning, right? Those are full effort from both those two teams. Oettinger is playing way better than Adin Hill. Both teams managed to add. Vegas still adding despite, you know, being capped out.
Do you think karma just gets Vegas?
No, because karma rewarded them last year.
Well, we'll see how strong Mark Stone is when he does return.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't worth it.
A lot of what I would take, a lot of the things I find important would point to Vegas, but I'm not gonna go back
it's
on the
gut
Stars.
Pick. I'm in with you.
This is more gut than it is like, okay, it's obvious. I'm gonna pick the Stars in six because I think the Stars are ready for this. It's time. They've been built really, really well. The team is complete. I can't knock them in any way. And for that reason, it's still Stars in six for me.
Okay, so I got Stars in six. You got Stars in seven.
You got seven. I got six. But yes.
I did say that. Whoops. Stars in seven for me. This is the first time I'm picking a lot of seven games in my Western Conference bracket, which will mean that they're going to be tired by the time they face my Rangers. You'll see why. Okay, so next round, next division here, Jets and Avs. Wow, this one, this is a tough one. I'm excited. It's the first ever playoff series between these two, which surprises me, but it feels like they have this bloodbath waiting for them, right? The Jets look incredible right now. Seven straight wins. They clinch home ice, and I think that's actually going to be really important. Winnipeg Jets fans, the whiteout, the way that building is going to be, I think that gives them a win that they don't deserve somewhere. Like, I actually am putting value on getting home ice. The way you finish the season is important. Hellebuck looks amazing. They added with Monahan and Toffoli at the trade deadline, and their team has just formed perfectly around those two additions. The Avs, on the other hand, I think aren't feeling as hot coming into the playoffs. Of course, they've got probably the Hart Trophy winner. They've got Makar. They've got some of the most talented players in the league. But I hate saying this against my Bulgarian brother, but Gorgiev, I don't think, can even match up to Hellebuck in a one or two game sample size. This could be a seven game series. So I am going to pick the Jets to upset the Avs in seven games.
Yeah, this one's interesting because the Avs have the major edge in two things I deem important, and that's playoff experience, like legit playoff games, important games that tell you a lot about a team, and top-end talent. Like, if we're comparing the talents on this team, especially outside of the crease, there's no contest. Cale Makar might be the best defenseman in the world. Nathan MacKinnon probably going to win the Hart Trophy. Mikko Rantanen, one of the top 5 to 10 goal scorers on the planet. The Avs have those things in spades. But these two teams have matched up in big games this year, and I think Winnipeg would classify these as big games because they have a room that kind of gets it. They got a coach that gets it in Rick Bowness, and the three meetings between them this season, on aggregate, Winnipeg beat them 17-4. 17-4 is a serious discrepancy. Connor Hellebuck can steal a game. Georgiev can't. I think for that reason, Winnipeg's going to steal one that they don't deserve. They're going to play the other five really well, and it's going to result in 3 of 5 victories out of those. And the Jets win this in six.
Okay, so both have the same picks, Stars and Jets, but I've got them both going to seven games. You have them both going to six games, but I'm happy that we're aligned so far. Okay, so another Canadian team with the Vancouver Canucks facing the Nashville Predators. Now, Canucks, we talked a lot about the Canucks at the beginning of the year. I remember when our show started, it was Canucks mania. They surprised a lot of people. But then I think they just quietly continued to be consistent and dominant and maybe less flashy in terms of discussion, right? And maybe we discounted just a level of performance that they had all season long. They swept Nashville this season, which is important. The Canucks being back in the playoffs is going to be a huge boost. I think Tocchet has really ignited this team. He's found a way to make the pieces fit. If Demko's back in there, I mean, we're talking about elite goaltenders doing big things. Like, Demko could be that X factor. Nashville, however, I will give a lot of credit for what they did over that 18-game streak. 18 straight games with a point. I think if they do find a way to upset, they've got to play U2 in their locker room because of that entire situation at the Sphere. That might be the rallying cry that team in that city means. They're definitely a different team from the trade deadline onwards. You got Forsberg playing incredible down the stretch. They went on that crazy run. I just think that they're not an overwhelming team, but they're a pretty like level team. I just think the Canucks have a lot more to give than the Preds. We use that word, like, did they lose their magic? I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit too down on the Canucks. I probably would rethink this one a little bit. I ended up going Canucks in seven. It's an interesting contrast because the Canucks were like hyper aggressive adding. The Nashville Predators didn't necessarily like fully
subtract. They didn't really know what they were going to do, yeah.
But they weren't like interested in competing this year through their actions. They just went on a run, and that run has ended. They've only 4 wins in their last 10 games. So, yeah, I do feel like some of the magic has ran out. Canucks did dominate the season series, but those games came really early. The Canucks didn't have like more than 2 losses for like 66% of the season.
It was pretty amazing.
But they have lost some games recently. I think it's a series that kind of comes down to two teams who want to play tight, want to rely on their goaltenders. Thatcher Demko coming back, UC Saros is a stud. And I think when you get into low variance games, you're going to have a win and a loss on each side. It's going to go back and forth. And eventually the Canucks win this in seven because they are, in the end, a little bit better and the magic has worn off.
Okay, so we're 3-for-3 with the right teams, but just off one game in each series. Finally, the Oilers and the LA Kings. And this one, as we started the show, I'm pretty fired up for Oilers fans, for a Canadian team to make a push, because I think that they landed a really great pathway. It's the third year in a row that these guys are going to go up in the first round matchup. The Kings obviously want revenge, but the Oilers, what I'm banking on is the Oilers learned something this year. They were dreadful. 3-9-1 to start, the 31st best team in the league. We were at a point thinking about the future of Connor McDavid and this Oilers franchise. They get a new coach. Since then, they're the only team with an over 700 points percentage or better in the past 5 months. They've been the best team in the NHL. You learn something on that. That's fortitude. That's leadership. That's figuring out how to win when your back is up against the wall. It's not even against the wall. It's in the backyard. Like, you were done. And for them to have found a way to get into this playoff, to get the balance they did with the Kings, I feel really confident about the Oilers. And it's, as Frank said, it's about they're going to beat themselves. That's it. Their opponent is themselves. So I think if there's anyone that learned anything this season, it's got to be the Oilers.
Yeah, two teams squaring off for the third straight time in the playoffs. Two teams that made coaching changes this season. Mm. Since the coaching change in Edmonton, Edmonton's been the best team in the NHL, and there's a big sample to draw from because old Jay Woodcroft got fired long ago, only a month into the season.
Decades ago.
Kings, though, they fired Todd McClellan. They've had the 10th best record by points percentage in the league, or what would be the 10th best right now since that coaching change. So they've been pretty good since making that change, but not best in the league good like the Oilers are. I do think it comes down to the familiarity between these two teams, that the Oilers have beat them twice in a row and easier the second time. Wouldn't it just be easier this time again? And for that reason, I'm going Oilers in 5. Win in 7, win in 6, win in 5. They know the formula. They're just going to take care of business, I think, this time. They have tapped out this roster in many ways. Like, talent brimmed as much as they possibly can, because, this might be the last crack at it, at least in terms of having the full complement. I think the Oilers have been building towards this moment, and they know the answers to the test. So I think they passed that test pretty quick.
I've got Oilers in 6, and one of those is just a bad goaltending game. Okay, yeah. So we have the same teams advancing through the first round. Now let's take a look at the second. It would be Stars and the Jets.
Yep, for both of us.
I have the Stars beating the Jets in 7 games. I got a lot of 7-game series. It's going to be a grind. This one's a hard one. I really do think the Jets could match up well, but I've been a Stars believer, so I'll have the Stars advancing in that one.
I got the Stars in 5. I think the Stars.
5.
I think the Stars and Jets are very similar. Poof. But I think the Stars have better talent at every stop. Mm. You know, maybe not in net. Jake Ottinger's close, but he's not Connor Hellebuyck. But the number one defenseman is better in Dallas. You know, the third line left winger, I think, is better in Dallas. Like, I think if you just go down the rosters and you compare, yes, the Jets have unity and team and culture and everything that's going to carry them through an ultra-talented team like Colorado. But I think Dallas is all that, too. And I think they just have more talent. I think it will show. It'll be quick. But it won't be like, hey, it's 5-1 every night. I think there'll be tightly contested games that Dallas will come away with.
Okay, so then we both have the Oilers and the Canucks, which would be an incredible series. I hope that so far this works out, because we have a lot of good, successful Canadian teams in our bracket. I have the Oilers beating the Vancouver Canucks in 7 games.
Oilers in 5.
You win these 5? I want more hockey. I want them to play until August.
I think the Stars and Oilers, after surviving these... Well, I guess it's not a big test for the Oilers early, but I things get weird in the second and third round, and sometimes it's not as competitive as you'd like it to be. And I feel like that'll happen here in the second round of the Western Conference.
Okay. So this means in the conference final, we would both have the Oilers and the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
I am picking the Oilers to make it to the Stanley Cup final. They will beat the Dallas Stars in 7 games.
Stars in 7.
Oh, that's where we finally depart.
Predominantly because we can't have great things. We can't have good things.
I think we can have great things, and that would be a great thing.
I would love to see Connor McDavid in the Stanley Cup final. It'd be the best thing for the game. Mm-hmm. It'd be the best thing for pretty much everyone if we're talking Western Conference teams, I guess, with the exception of the two Canadian markets in Winnipeg and Vancouver. But selling the game, the most important thing is seeing Connor McDavid in the Stanley Cup final. I just think the Stars upset that.
Okay, let's take a look at the challenge ahead. So Western Conference bracket, we've got the same four teams making it through. Stars, Jets, Canucks, and Oilers on the way through. Just a little bit of difference in terms of games. And then in that second round, both got the Stars and the Oilers making it through. So far, so good. We're looking.
It's like we talk on a daily basis.
We actually, and for folks listening, we did not do this in tandem. We showed up with our answers. And finally, in the conference finals here, got the Oilers defeating the Stars. And at least we're both going to seven games in this one.
There
one of us will be happy.
Some contrast.
So with this being said, we have what we believe to be our Stanley Cup matchups. And for me, it would be the Oilers facing the New York Rangers. And I think that would be something that would make a lot of people happy. Unfortunately, I have the result that might not make Canadians happy, but I think the Rangers have an easier path to the Stanley Cup final. I think Edmonton will be really battled getting themselves there. And the goaltending thing for me just edges a little bit in the Rangers' favor. And in seven games, I think we're happy for it, for have that one.
Yeah, Edmonton, New York, objectively better than my Stanley Cup final,
yeah,
which is the Dallas Stars.
Nobody wants to watch that.
And the Florida Panthers. I mean, it might not be a ratings bonanza if the Stars and Panthers meet, although it would be unbelievable hockey, if we're being honest with ourselves. But yeah, McDavid on Broadway and back and forth and the history between the Rangers and the Oilers, that would be a dream scenario. And I would prefer to see that happen. I would gladly buy you that round of golf to see that Stanley Cup final. But I think the Stars and the Panthers are best suited in both their conferences. Mm-hmm. And I do think because of the attrition picked up along the way, Panthers winning 3 7-game series, I think the Stars get it done in 6 for me.
Okay, so just a reminder, Justin and I have created a bet against each other for this. 3 points awarded if you get the correct team and the correct number of games in each series. But you just get 1 point correct if you just get the team. And then for the cup final, we've doubled it. So 6 for the correct team and number of games and 2 for the winning team. So I don't think we don't have any crossover in our Stanley Cup final teams. So
yeah,
this will be fun.
So hopefully it'll be decided then.
And loser buys a round of golf. So it's a win for all of us because we get to golf. That was fun. Okay, so you can always send in your own picks at 590-590. We've got somebody here, Derek from Sudbury, saying, I think the Stanley Cup final will be Carolina and Vancouver. Vancouver wins the cup. I'm happy to have a good old Vancouver team win a Stanley Cup. I'd love to see a Canadian team in the final.
Yeah, I would too.
I would love that. So Derek in Sudbury has that. A question here: would Canuck fans want a redemption rematch of the '94 Rangers or 2010 Bruins?
God, if we had one more show, we could rank like the best possible Stanley Cup finals, and you'd have to have Vancouver, Boston near the top of the list. Mm-hmm. I'd still take Rangers and Edmonton, yours over that. But for the narratives, for the storylines, for the potential fun on hockey Twitter. Oh, man. Vancouver, Boston would be electric.
Here's a question from Matt from Montreal. Hey, Matt from Montreal. I'm going to be in Montreal tomorrow at the Bell Center for the PWHL Montreal-Toronto game, which is going to sell out and set records. I'm excited. So I'll see you there. If the Leafs get over the Boston hump, how deep of a run can you see them going? I think it's a really fair question because I've been saying you get over that, you slay that dragon, and what else can happen? But then you're going to be faced up probably against the Panthers, and I just don't love that matchup for them. We're kind of happy to see them avoid it in the first round. We'll see, but I do think there's something to be said about momentum.
Yeah, I think Colorado or Winnipeg has the single hardest path through, but the Leafs would be in that discussion, right? I mean, Boston, and it's narrative and, like, the actual team, like the team in front of you, but there's 2 narratives that lie ahead of the Maple Leafs, mm-hmm. 3 if you want to count Tampa Bay in that, and plus these are really, really good teams in the Atlantic,
yeah.
And then you got to play the best team in the Metro, then you got to take on the best team from the Western Conference. It just feels like, not that the deck stack against them, but man, it's a difficult pass. So even if they get through, I mean, we saw what happened last year. It's going to be tough either way.
Should I bet my rent on Leafs in 6? I can't recommend that, but
I'm telling you, it's Leafs in 6 or Leafs or Bruins in 7.
No,
it ends one of those 2 ways.
I'm picking something more unbelievable. Brian from Toronto Leaf fan, Stanley Cup Finals, Oilers and Hurricanes, winner Oilers. That's great that he clarified he's a Leaf fan. He's believing in those
Oilers Hurricanes rematch of 06. That would be a lot of fun, but you know, maybe not the sexiest.
Chris in Moncton, Edmonton over Florida in 7. Edmonton's getting some love here. We've got a Toronto in 7, just Toronto in general in 7. Canucks in 6 over Florida. So I think we might be having a Canadian audience listening because we're getting quite a few Canadian.
Let's get to the TV sets in Winnipeg and let's get a prediction there.
Yeah, let's get some Winnipeg fans. Okay, quickly, let's do some best bets for tonight and then we can quickly tee up the Blue Jays game as well. So mine comes from tonight's Blue Jays game. Jays are on the road to face the Padres. I am liking them just to straight up win. They had a really good series. They've turned it around a little bit, if you haven't noticed. They're 10-9. Padres are 11-10, so it'll be a good match. But our boy, Yariel Rodriguez, on the mound, I'm feeling like they're going to need a little bit of bounce back. That final game against the Yankees had a sour taste at home. I'm liking them to just win on the money line. And Varsho's been red hot. Varsho home run. plus 500. They've turned it around. He's leading them in home runs as of this past week and having a really good hot streak. So ride the hot hand.
The NBA play-in concludes tonight. We will have the full bracket. I like plays in both games. They're not the most interesting games, to be honest. they have superstars missing in both. And for that reason, I like a couple things. Bulls and Heat, under 206.5. I mean, this is going to be a rock fight. No Jimmy Butler, who's scoring the ball for Miami. They're going to have to dumb it down, try and handle, you know, try and keep DeMar DeRozan to just shooting mid-range the entire game. I feel like this one could end in the 80s. I like 206.5 under Bulls Heat. And Zion Williamson was a stud against the Lakers in the play-in, I guess, opener in the Western Conference. But he's not available. The Kings beat the Warriors. I think the Kings ride the momentum and not only cover the number, but win against the Pelicans, who, you know, kind of dealt a bad hand without Zion Williamson, who scored a lot of points against the Lakers. It was unstoppable. And then the knee goes out and they have little opportunity now, I believe. So I like the Kings plus one. Light the beam. Let's go.
Oh, light the beam. If you're interested in this Bulls Heat game, which we do have later on Sportsnet, DeMar DeRozan's daughter will not be in attendance, which is important because we remember how that last play-in went. She was sitting courtside. The official report is she will not be able to attend.
Okay.
So if take that as you might, because she was very important for them beating the Raptors. Was it last year?
Yeah.
I'll never forget that one. Okay, quickly. Want to do one quick thing about the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
Okay, so
of course.
It's been a little while. This has been a busy hockey week, of course, and Blue Jays had a day off yesterday, but they had a pretty important series against the Yankees. And it's 19 games into the season. We're about to hit 20 tonight. What's your most interesting development? And there can be a few, but something that's really piqued your interest over the last 19 games.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned in your best bet. I mean, Dalton Varsho having a homestand where he hit 320, four home runs and a double and a couple walks is like a really seriously encouraging thing. But I'll go Yariel Rodriguez, who's on the mound tonight. He could be the dude that keeps the discussion around the fifth starter, which means Manoah, White, Francis, even Trevor Richards. Like, that we don't have to do that. If the strength of this team is pitching and it's not like an 80% thing where you're just worried every fifth starter or every fifth time around that, you know, you're not going to win the game because you don't have an offering. If Yariel Rodriguez is just the guy who can pitch three innings, four innings, even on the innings count, even on the pitch count, and give you something you're going to be not only okay with, but excited about. I mean, that's a major, major development, I think, for the Blue Jays, who are not waiting on someone who may or may not have anything to offer this team. I think it's awesome. I love that they went and got him. I love that they were aggressive. I love that he has a little bit of personality, too. I can't wait to see him pitch again, and you're going to see that tonight.
That's tonight. That's a little later on Sportsnet, 9 o'clock against the Padres. I think related to that is Berríos having such an incredible start. We've obviously had a lot of faith in Kevin Gausman, and with him being injured, I think it's great to see that Berríos has stepped into that ace role pretty seamlessly. It's still lots of time to be played. I think an interesting development, and it's too bad we don't have a lot of time to get some feedback on the text line, is that I'm finding that a lot of Blue Jays fans, whether that's just the social media crowd or the crowd you hear online, have really soured on manager John Schneider already. Like, it is the second he came out, he gets booed at pitching decisions. Some of them are very valid. Bullpen, it hasn't been a really hot start for him. I just wonder the pulse on that. It's been very interesting. Obviously, we know how last year ended, and this year has kind of had some very, I guess, questionable moments in terms of decision-making. So for that to be so loud already, it's an interesting way to start a season. You got to earn your trust back from your fan base. Obviously, that starts from the manager, but also through the front office. And I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered by this Blue Jays team. However, some of these offseason additions have looked really good. And that is maybe not the sexy offseason decisions that we wanted to see, but Turner, IKF, they have looked good. So maybe not credit to the front office or credit to John Schneider, but credit to them for being able to perform in these moments so far for the Blue Jays that's got them at over 500.
Is that what splits the hairs? Like, is that how you decipher the blame? Because, it was the whole, like, mid-decision-making process that people were agitated about. But then the front office adds a couple of impact players so far. So where does that angst and frustration go? Well, so far, the manager.
Yeah, it's been loud, to say the least. Okay, so this is it. This is the calm before the storm. Tomorrow you'll have the day one of the Stanley
Cup. Only two games. It's like a little appetizer.
I know, it's too bad, but you got a big Sunday fun day ahead. So lots to come. Later on Sportsnet tonight, got Toronto and the Padres at 9 p.m. That's on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. And we will see you on Monday. Enjoy the first couple days of Stanley Cup playoffs.